I want to talk with us about seeing God. Just seeing God. And I want us to go, first of all, to Exodus, book of Exodus, chapter 33. Book of Exodus, chapter 33. And a very interesting chapter to read. Moses is having just a conversation with God. He's talking about this assignment that God gave him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. And he's telling God, he says, if you don't go with us, then we cannot go. You have to go with us. We cannot go without you. And he's asking the Lord's guidance and so on. Verse 13, Exodus chapter 33. It says, now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. It's quite an interesting discussion, because there was a time when God was frustrated with the Israelites. And he began to talk to Moses, and he's going like this. These are your people, he says to Moses. Moses comes back, he says, no, they're your people. They're your people. And this is, he says here, and consider that this nation is your people. Nobody wants them. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. That word separate actually means holy. Holiness means to be separate. It says, I and these people will be separate. We will not be like everybody else out there. We will be different because we are your people. Well, you know, that's still the same, that we cannot be like everybody out there. We're God's people. Amen. We're different. We live differently. We speak differently. Everything is different. Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. I think this is probably the cry of every human being. God, show us your glory. Show us your glory. And you know what? We'll see the glory of God. Amen. I'll say amen then. Amen. Verse 19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Moses is asking for his glory. And God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Do you know that the goodness of God is also the glory of God? That God wants to show you his goodness, because he wants you to know his glory. How many of you have tasted that the Lord is good? Amen. Sometimes we focus more on our problems than we miss the glory. But you know, when you look back, you got to see what the Lord has done. You have to see what the Lord has done. Verse 19 again, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand, while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. My face shall not be seen. Do you know that the day will come when you will see his face? Apostle John writes, he says, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. We will be like him. That's, you know, that is where God wants to take us. We were made in his image. Amen? Amen. And he wants us to be like him because he made us to be like him. That's God's dream with you. Do you know that? Do you know that? That the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, my little children for whom I labor again in prayer until Christ is formed in you. That's God's dream with every one of us. Did you know that? You know, sometimes we're so proud of who we are. God wants to bring us to the place where Paul was eventually, where he says, I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. You ready for that? That's the dream that God has. It should be our dream. So Moses, although he walked with God and he had all these experiences with God, if you back up, we won't do it now this morning, but if you read earlier in that chapter, it says there in verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Not that he saw his face, but he spoke to him like friends. It says, as a man speaks to his friend, in his tent, he had these moments with God. Do you know when Moses went up the mountain to, when God summoned him to come up to the mountain and to receive the law, he spent time with God. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat, he did not drink, he did not, I don't know what he did, for 40 days and 40 nights he was in the presence of God. When he came down from that mountain, the glory of God was so much all over him, he had to cover his face. The people couldn't look at him. The glory of God was upon the man. This is the man that had all of those experiences that cries out and says, show me your glory. Show me your glory. You know, I get the same thing with the Apostle Paul there in Philippians chapter 3. You read what Paul went through and the experiences he had with God, or all the mighty miracles that happened through his hands. He comes to a place where he says, I want to know him. And you think, I thought you knew him, Paul. The thing is, the more you know him, the more you want to know of him. You can't get enough, because inside of us, God put something in us. It's a constant yearning for him. His presence with us. And the closer you get to him, the closer you want to get to him. And people think it's all about being religious. No, it's not about religion. It's about being like him. It's about that intimate moments with God. That fulfillment comes. Religion can never fulfill you. Doesn't matter how cool it is. Religion can never bring you to a place of fulfillment. There will always be something lacking. I'm so glad Jesus fulfilled the law. Amen. Man. It was tough for those Israelites. They could not live under the law. And because inside them, they were running away from God. But externally, they tried to fulfill the law, because then God was obliged to bless them according to the covenant. And so they were just torn. They wanted the blessing, but they didn't want God. But now we found out in Christ that our unity with him, our relationship with him, is where the blessing flows from. You can't earn the blessing. It comes through our union with him. He is blessed. He is the one that is blessed forever. You want some of that blessing, get close to him. That's where it comes from. You can't earn it. You can be as good as you want. You will never be good enough. And so Moses, although he had these moments with God where God actually spoke with him face to face, he saw these miracles as actually from the moment God called him at the burning bush, all through the Exodus and all through the journey through the desert, he just saw these amazing manifestations of God's provision, of his protection, of God's dealing with his people. And still he comes to a place where he says, I want to see your glory. And when he says, I want to see your glory, God says, I will show you my goodness. I will show you my goodness. I begin to see that the glory of God, or let me put it this way, the goodness of God is the glory of God. God brings his goodness to us so that we can see his glory. Now let's go to the New Testament and John, book of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Something very interesting here. John 14 and chapter verse 6. Jesus said to him, he's talking to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want to make a little detour here because this is very important for us to know. Especially as Christians living in a world that keeps on running away from God. That we need to know, and everybody else needs to know, there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. You cannot go to God on your own credentials. Look, our sins built a wall between us and God. And we have no access to God because of that. But Jesus calls himself in John chapter 10. He says, I am the door. There's a door in that wall. And that door is Jesus. He's the one that gives us access to the Father. We cannot go to God except through him. Isn't it amazing that today people are okay talking about God? Just don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus now. You can talk about God all you want. Just don't talk about Jesus. And that's where they just cut us off from access to God. It's amazing. You know, you have these Christians. I'm not talking about the world now. I'm just talking about Christians. When they're in public places, they're at official meetings, they're with politicians, they're at ceremonies, and then they do a prayer, and they will never mention the name of Jesus, because they're too scared that they will offend people who think they can go to God on their own credentials. No wonder Paul says that the cross of Christ is an offense. It offends the Jews, and it's foolishness to the Greeks, the Gentiles. It's foolishness. We're good people. We don't need Jesus. We can just go to God. I cannot help but think that when you're in a public place and you're ashamed to name the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I will also be ashamed to name your name before my Father. Let's be bold to name the name that saved us. Let's be bold to name that name that gives us access to God. An open invitation to go into the throne room and receive grace and mercy in a time of need. There is no other name by which man can be saved. There's only one name, and it's the name of Jesus. Now, there's something important here that we need to know. Because with John, in his epistle there, he writes, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. You don't have God if you don't have the Son. There's another place there where Jesus says, you don't have to go there. I made a note here, John 10, verse 30. If you want to make a note, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now, we're leading up to something here because Moses wanted to see the glory of God. Now, here is somebody that came, and his name is Jesus, and he says, I and my Father are one. You're going to see something now. We're going to see something because God reveals himself to us. And not only then when Jesus walked the earth, he still does it today. He reveals himself. Well, let's read on verse 7, John chapter 14. He's still talking to Thomas. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Interesting. Moses could not see him, but now we can. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now, here is what we need to understand. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. The Father who dwells in me does the works. Jesus says, I don't speak out of my own. I only speak what I hear the Father speak. And I never do anything unless I saw the Father do it. What is God doing? God is revealing himself to us through Jesus Christ. We cannot know the Father without him. We cannot know him. Now, you can be as pious as you want to be. You can be as religious as you want to be. And let me tell you, there are some people, religion is oozing out of them. It almost gets to a place where it is offensive. It just drips of them. They are so religious. And they come with these official prayers where they say, you know, dear God. And then they start off with their own. And you think, which God are you talking to now? Because if you don't approach him through Jesus Christ, I don't know which God you're talking to. And especially when they say, well, we don't want to mention the name of Jesus because it offends the other groups. I think if you pray to a God in circumstances like that, you be careful and find out which God you're praying to. You're praying to the one you don't want to offend. Yes? There's only one name. There's only one name. And some will be offended. Jesus said, he said, that is the cornerstone that was rejected. And some rejected that cornerstone, but some embraced it and said, I'll build on this rock. I will build on this rock. And Jesus said, if you build on this rock, you'll never stumble. He said, I will build my church on this rock. Which rock? The revelation that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Since the church will be built on that rock, it will never be shaken. And we live in a world that is being shaken today. We live in a world, let me tell you, they have no clue what to do with it. The confusion reigns in our world. There's only one way that we can that we can stay sane in this world, and that is to hold on to that rock. That is called Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. It's the only one that has hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. Who is doing the work? God is doing the work. How is he doing it? He's doing it through Jesus. And he's revealing himself to us. How is God revealing himself to us? By doing good things to us. Do you know that when God shows up in your life, he's revealing himself to you? Do you know that he's showing good things to you? Amen. That God does good to you? You've never been in a tough place. You'll never know that. But I tell you, I've been in tough places where I stood with my back against the wall and I had no idea what to do or where to go. But then the glory of God was revealed. When we came to the end of our wits and didn't know what to do, God showed up. Provision came. Wisdom came. A breakthrough came. And God showed himself through his goodness, which is his glory. And we are fulfilled and we say, God is with us. Therefore, we will overcome. Therefore, we will win. You know, I tell you, people ask me, you know, what about the future? 5 years from now, 10 years from now? I don't know. I don't know. But God knows. And I've learned what Solomon says in Proverbs, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I may know the next step, and I may not know further down the road, but it's enough for me to know the next step. And I have peace in that because I know God knows where we're going. And like Moses, we say, I cannot go without him. And so if I go with him, I don't need to know all the journey right up to the end. I know where we're going, but I don't know the road. And now we get to verse 12. It's now becoming personal. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, who's doing the works? God is doing it through Jesus. Now we're getting involved. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And of course we know that when the Father, when Jesus goes to the Father, the Holy Spirit comes. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Don't you think it's time that Christians believe that? Amen. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Father wants to be glorified. Did you know that? Jesus speaks. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So now, we want to see God's glory, but also God wants to see the glory that we bring to him. How can we bring glory to God? By doing what he tells us to do, because he reveals his goodness through us. Just as he did it through Jesus, now we're getting involved. How many of you have known that God wants to reveal his goodness to the world out there through you? Now, don't look at me like that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And you don't have to have a special feeling. You don't have to have a special sense of God's presence. All you need to know is Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Therefore, he is here. And because he is here, he wants to do something through me because there are needs all around us. You don't want me to get into this a little deeper. Because God's looking to us to show his goodness to the world. There is crying out to see the goodness of God. If you watch the news, you'll know there's never good news on the TV. When last have you seen good news on the TV? On the news? A little bit here and there, but it's mostly, you know, things that we need to worry about. Thank God the good news overcomes the bad news. Amen. That God is with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. And he will reveal his goodness through us. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now watch. Remember what he told Thomas and Philip? Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The express image of his person. God is talking about Jesus being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen him. If you have seen Jesus doing good to you, you have seen God the Father doing good to you. Because God expressed himself and revealed himself through Jesus. And still does it today. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is still revealing the Father to us. What's he revealing? To us, he's revealing to us that God is a good God. That God is mindful of us. That God cares about us. That God is there to provide for us. That God is there to give us wisdom. God is there to heal our brokenness. God is there to heal our bodies. He only does good things to us. People say, God's judging me. Let me tell you what the Bible says. God's not judging you. If you're going through some stuff that you think God's judging you, what is happening is you are just reaping consequences of bad decisions. That's all. Because we live in a time of grace. God's not judging now. He is not in judgment. We live in the grace of God. Right now, it's the door to God's grace is wide open. There's no judgment now. People say God is, I hear the Americans say God is judging America. God is not judging America. God's not judging anybody. Where people go through some tough times, often, most of the time, it is just going through consequences of some bad decisions. They're just eating the consequences of disobedience. They're just dealing with consequences of ignorant decisions, making decisions without the wisdom and not accepting the will of God for their lives. You know, I just feel I want to go in different directions here. Because let me tell you something. People's personal preferences, punish them. Their personal preferences bring the punishment of consequences upon them. When they leave the ways of God, then you leave the blessing of God. And we live in a world that's cursed. God cursed this world. and you step away from the blessing of God, what do you think is going to happen? You walk right into the curse. No wonder people feel they're cursed. But you don't have to be cursed. You stay in the ways of God, you'll see the blessing comes to you. Because that's the will of God. You know, I found out that from cover to cover, this book is God's attempt to bring blessing on you. From beginning to end, God trying to bring blessing on us. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. He does good things to us. And He wants us to show us His glory. He wants us to show us His goodness. Now, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I would like for you to read this with me. If you have your Bible with you. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, not some people, everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks finds, and he to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Is there anybody here that would do that? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Let's all say, how much more? How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? How much more? How much more? If we know to give good things to our children, how much more? And here is what God is trying to get through to us. Through all that Jesus came to do, as you read the Gospels, and you see all the works that Jesus did, He never did a bad thing. He only did good. He only did good. I'm amazed to see that there were times when people didn't have to ask Him. When Jesus showed up at a place and there was a need, people did not have to ask Him to do things for them. I'm thinking of that man that was at the pool of Bethesda. For 38 years, he was paralyzed. Nobody wanted to help him for 38 years. Nobody helped the man. Jesus showed up. He saw the man there and he asked him, do you want to be well? He's the one that asked the question, not the man. He's the one. Because that is what Jesus came to do. What did Jesus come to do? As He says in the book of Hebrews, I have come to do your will, O God. He brought the goodness of God to humanity that needed Him so much and still does. I like the story of the man with the withered hand. Jesus comes into the synagogue at Sabbath day, saw a man with a withered hand. What do you think He's going to do? He's going to do something about it. The Pharisees are there too. They're watching Him because now it's Sabbath day. You do anything on the Sabbath day, they'll stone you for that. I just see this whole picture. Sometimes you just need to close your eyes and watch that video. There's Jesus. There's the Pharisees. Yes, the man with the withered hand. And it's Sabbath day. And that atmosphere is ice cold. It's ice cold. Then we read, Jesus is angry. He's angry. because of the coldness of their hearts. They don't care about this man's need. They only care about the law. They don't care about him. He's angry and grieved. The Bible says he's grieved. So now here you have the situation. You have this tension in the air. This man with the withered hand actually has nothing to do with anything. He didn't ask for anything. He's just standing there. But there's Jesus, there's the Pharisees, and there's tension. Now on top of that, Jesus is angry and grieved. May I add to that, there was no worship team, there was no music to crank it up a little bit. There's nothing of that. Do you think that anything can happen in that atmosphere? Yes. Because Jesus came to show us the goodness of God. It doesn't matter how bad the circumstances are. He can still do something good. And just because there was a need, he was going to do something about it. And I hope I'm talking to some people here, because you're sitting here with a need this morning, he's talking to you. Now, we just read in Matthew 7 that if you ask, you will receive. Let me tell you something else. I have seen in the Bible that people received without even asking. They didn't even have to ask. All that needed to happen was Jesus had to show up. That's all. Now, here's the question. If Jesus said, "Where two or three gather in my name, I will be there." Is Jesus here?
Yes.
Oh, he's here, all right.
Oh, yes.
He's here. What's he going to do to your need? Is he going to walk just by and pretend, "I haven't seen that"? No, because he came to reveal the Father. What does the Father want to do? He wants to show us that he's a good God. He wants to reveal his glory. Remember when Moses said, "I want to see your glory," God says, "I'll show you my goodness. I'll show you my goodness." Now, I know that we always try to complicate simple things. We want to make it, it's too simple. We want it a little more complicated. Well, here's the revelation. Here's the news flash of the day. God's not talking to your head. He's talking to your heart.
Amen.
That's what it is. He's not talking to your head. Your head will never understand him. He's talking to your heart. And you sense his presence. You know God's going to do something. He's not there just to be there. He's there to do something.
Amen.
Jesus never showed up anywhere and did nothing. Wherever he went, he did something. And everything he did was good.
Yes.
Acts chapter 10. Peter is talking to the household of Cornelius. He doesn't really know why he should be there. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want to be there because he's a Jew and they're Gentiles. And he's not allowed to be there. So he's a little cautious here. He's talking about, honestly, he doesn't know what to talk about, because when he arrived there, he asked Cornelius what he's supposed to do. But then he starts talking about Jesus. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That is what Jesus came to do. That is the purpose One of the purposes of Jesus coming to the earth is to reveal God's character to us. You know, sometimes we hear people say, well, people say this person did that, but it's out of character. I don't believe he did that because it's out of character for him. Well, if we know the character of God, then we will know what God will do. Yes. Jesus came to reveal his character to us. What's the character of God? He's a good father. He's a good father. Too many people sit with the Old Testament image that the Israelites had of God. He's distant. He's there to punish us. We're never good enough. We'll never make it. He's there to punish us. Jesus says, no, 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 no. He's a good God. And I have come to show you the Father. And this is what the Father, everything I do, the Father is working through me. I am just showing you what the Father is doing. And we begin to see that our God's a good God. We begin to see he's a father to us that cares about his children. And he loves his children. You know, when our children grew up in the house, they never had to ask for a meal. They never had to ask for clothing. That even though we're limited and even though, you know, we don't have what we think we should have and all of that, we always gave because we love our children. We would go short at times to give to them. Because that's the heart of a parent. Now God comes and he says, if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more do you think your Father who has no limits will give to you? Amen. And he sent Jesus, and Jesus started revealing the Father to us, showing the Father, showing what the Father will do, speaking what the Father speaks. Just doing the works that the Father wants him to do. He says, I never do anything unless I saw the Father do it. I never say anything unless I heard the Father say it. I'm just representing the Father. The book of Hebrews says he's the express image of his person. Jesus. God is a good God, revealing his goodness to us. Now, here's what we need to do. We need to become acquainted with our Father. If we know him, that's all you need to do. If you know him, you'll know to trust him. And if you trust him, nothing is impossible. He says, nothing is impossible with God. Well, it's part of his character. It is part of his character. It's part of who God is. Nothing is impossible to him, and God will always do something good to you. And God makes it easy. That's what I love about him. He makes it easy so that it will be in the grasp of everybody, no one excluded. God's an inclusive God. He excludes nobody. He makes it simple so that everybody has access to it. So everybody can understand. All we need to know is God is a good God. He's a good Father. I love it the way Jesus speaks there in Matthew 7. He says, your Father. He often spoke of my Father, but then he gets to a place where he says, your Father. Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, says, God adopted us as his own. Here's the thing about the adopted child. Children that are born natural, sometimes people say it was an accident. Adoption is never an accident. You were adopted because God chose to adopt you. And he assumed responsibility for you as a father. And now we find out he's a good father who loves to do good things to his children. And he has no limits. He always knows the answer. He has the power. He has the authority. He has the love. Whatever you need, he has it. And all you need to know is I am his child. God loves me even though I don't really deserve it. He still loves me. And the door is open. I can receive from him. I can receive from him. And you know, Jesus makes it easy. He says, here's what you do. Now, sometimes things change, right? Because we need to do what Jesus did. You always need to hear from the Father. You always need to hear from the Father. But Jesus comes and he says, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. How simple is that? How simple is that? And you know what? He doesn't say pray. He did not say pray for the sick. He just said, you lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
That's all he said. That's how simple it is. Because it's not about our prayer that is so good. It is God doing the work through us now.
Amen.
He's revealing his goodness through us. And all he says is, you lay hands on the sick. And they will recover.
Amen.
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 We speak recovery to Cynthia.
Thank you.
God's goodness.
Yes.
God's glory.
Amen.
God's glory revealed.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your power. If you have a need this morning, and you believe what Jesus said, when you gather two or three of you together, I'll be there. Then you know your need can be met this morning. And if you have a hard time with that, he says, all you need to do is ask. All you need to do is ask. And you will receive. Let's all stand. That's all you need to do is ask. But you don't even have to ask. Because he knows the need. He knows the need. You don't have to ask. That's faith, people. You don't need all know all the definitions of just trust him. That he'll do what he said he'll do.
Thank you.
Amen. Father, we bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Showing to us that you're a good God. Yeah, you reveal yourself to us that we become acquainted with you. And know your character and know that our Father adopted us. So that he could take care of us. Thank you that Jesus came to reverse the curse. And we can walk in the fullness of your blessing. Simply because you love us.
Amen.
We bless you. We receive it this morning. Father, this morning, there are needs here. You know the needs. Thank you, Lord, for touching those lives. Thank you for touching them this morning. We just receive answers this morning. We receive healing this morning. We receive provision this morning. Father, we come before you with broken relationships, hurts in the hearts of people. Even if it seems so impossible, we know that with you all things are possible. Will you bring restoration?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Will you heal marriages? Will you heal relationships in families? Just show your glory, your goodness to your children. Oh, we receive it this morning. Just as that man at the pool received his healing, we receive this morning from the heart of a good father. And we bless your name. We bring our attitude of gratitude before you and stand in awe of who you are. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord for his goodness. Oh, let's not forget one of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord.